Welcome back, everyone, to Nerd Parents. This is episode one, and we are a group of parents coming together in a positive space. Hey, it's episode one, okay? To discuss parenting the nerdy way. I'm your host, Nicole. With me this week, our panel of parents, we have Cleo back, or Carrie.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Carrie. And then we also have dad and mom. We have Brian Ibbett and Tina Ibbett joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
From
Great
Cover.
To be here.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. So if you're not familiar with Brian, if you're part of the Frog's Pants community, you're listening to Morning Stream, you've heard Brian's voice before, but you might not have heard Tina's.
No.
So, true.
The only Very time I get to hear you, Tina, is during the 24-hour cover-thon when you're trying to keep Brian awake.
I know.
For those not familiar with that, every Thanksgiving they have an amazing 24-hour, I wanted to say telethon, but it's a internet-a-thon.
Mm-hmm. So right.
that you raise money for Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And it's awesome. I've been participating in that for the last, 3 years?
Yes, and love having you on as a guest and as a contributor, and it makes such a long event go so much more quickly when you've got people on there that that you enjoy talking to, you know?
I can't imagine staying up for 24 hours.
I know.
Though those early days in Mateo's development, I think I might have been up for more than
right.
24 hours.
Maybe not consecutively, but you get up, you wake up for a couple hours, feed, and then go back to sleep. You maybe get another 20 minutes of sleep.
Well, and it should be said, you have a son named mm-hmm. Tristan. So that's
yes.
that's your qualification.
That's what makes us eligible to be on this show.
Exactly.
So do you want to tell the audience anything more about you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll talk more about being parents. So like you said, father of a 16-year-old going on 17 in a couple weeks, going to be 17 very shortly here. And boy, just learning this stuff as we go, you know, as first time parents, obviously, as we all are, you got to be a first time parent sometime, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of experiencing all the stuff that you can't prepare for, the stuff that you can't read ahead,
read
the internet or anything like that. I mean, stuff that you just have to experience and then figure out on the fly how you handle some of this stuff. And, I don't know. Having a 16-year-old really keeps you on your toes. Tina, what do you...
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and what people don't tell you before you have children is that all that stuff that you dealt with as a kid, you know, the bullying... It resurfaces, but it is so much worse as a parent because it comes up... All that stuff comes back to you. And then it's even more emotional because you can't do anything about it, mm-hmm.
right.
you know, and it's just, it's just can be so devastating.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to keep them up and positive and nobody tells you that.
You experience it as a kid and then you re-experience it with them and then have to do just a second layer on top of that. Or what do I do about it? Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Well, yeah.
And just to remind people in the audience, if this is the first time you're listening to, I have a son named Mateo. He is 2. And then Cleo or Carrie, we kind of go in between.
We're going to go around what my name is for the first 3 episodes.
No, right. I'm just going to call you Cleo.
That works. Okay. It's all good. I have 3 kids. Yeah. Sarah is 14, Eden will be 12 next week, and Colin is 4.
So this is going to be interesting for people that have older kids. So, you know, unlike some of the pregnancy podcasts and things like that, I find those shows kind of focus on those early, because those early times are just, you're in hell. You're really, mm-hmm. you're in hell. And you're looking for any possible. But I find as Mateo's getting older, I'm not relying on those resources, but these are still things that happen that come up and they happen and it's fast and then it goes away and then you sometimes forget and there's this weird kind of a repression of memories that happens as they grow.
That's how you end up with more children, because you forget the crap you went through the first time. Right. You go, yeah, it was fine. It's all good. It's no big deal. And then it comes up again with the next kid and you go, oh man, I remember. Oh, why did I do that again?
Who's this? Right.
That's why we've had one. Yeah, we remember.
We wrote everything down so we wouldn't forget.
So you just read, let's just read our diary. Oh, okay.
It's a book called If We Ever Think About Having Kids Again, and we open it up to the first page and it's just in big, big letters. Don't do it.
Exactly.
It's written in blood. No.
Yeah.
Abandon all hope.
It is an interesting, life-changing experience that I think you just don't prepare for it. I know there was one point in taking care of Mateo that I was giving him a bath and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, this is never going to end. Like, it just feels like it just like, oh my God, I'm going to have to give him a bath every single night. And like, it just didn't dawn on me until that moment that this was the new routine, right?
If you're giving him a bath when he's 14 years old, we're going to have to talk.
No, you right. So. At that moment, it didn't. It just was, yeah. It was like, everything's changed, right?
So. Yeah. I think it all changes too. It changes for you from that baby generation. What it's like, 2 years. It feels like 33, yeah, but it's only two.
Yeah.
It changes when they start to become of the age where they can socialize with other people.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it becomes about, all right, well, now I see what you can do and I know what you're all about, but now I have to defend you from everybody else that's in the world. And how it changes them.
Well, we got a ton of solicited email feedback from the last show, our beta episode. So I'm really excited to have both you, Brian and Tina, on the show to talk more from a teenager level. Because honestly, I remember how I was a teenager, and I think I'm still apologizing to my mom for the crap I pulled.
God, like, yeah.
So one thing that I really like to do to kind of keep us on a positive note is to kind of talk about our ups and downs for the week. So this is hopefully something that we'll do every week and kind of just quickly go through any fun little thing that might have happened in our world. And the downs being more commiserating. I'm not the only one. Because honestly, sometimes it helps to feel like you're not alone. So for me, my up this week is that Mateo has been saying thank you. And that's new, and he's starting to listen more, and that's huge for me. So when he'll ask for something and I'll give it to him, I go, thank you. And he's trying really hard to say words. So like saxophone, he'll go, but he does something really funny when he can't say like the first two syllables. He'll go, durka durka phone.
That's what Scott does when he can't read a word in the morning stream notes.
I just start laughing. I'm like, what is he doing?
Durka durka phone.
So anytime he can't like pronounce the first part of the word, it's durka durka. And then he'll have the part of the word that he can say. And
that's funny.
Yeah. And then my down is that we've been having a real hard time getting him to bed at night. I went to Las Vegas for the New Media Expo, it was like clockwork. Put him down, sing him a song, close the door, doesn't peep. He just lays in bed, goes to sleep. But it's that kind of interruption in his routine that I honestly didn't think 3 days of me being gone would cause. But it really had a ripple effect because he was fine while I was gone. But when I came home, all hell broke loose on his nighttime kind of good nights. And we're finally back on track after, how long has it been since we got back from Vegas?
A week and a half.
So it took a while to kind of get back into the routine. So that was kind of my down, because there was a few nights where I'm like, oh God, I hate this so much. So how about you, Cleo?
Let's see. My up for this week is that after a very precarious holiday season, Eden is back in school. So that's really exciting. Yay. That she's gone from basically medically comatose to let's go back to school. So that's really good. And she's doing great there. So that's really exciting to get her kind of back into that realm of what she knows and kind of expanding on kind of getting her back to a place where she can settle down and really get back into school and learned to touch and all the things that she was doing before. So that's really big. I'd say my down, and I think you guys are going to find that a lot of the things that are up and down for me are medical, because it tends to be where my kids fall into their realm. My oldest daughter has been struggling with some alopecia, and it's so she's got these spotty bits of pattern baldness. And when you're 14, that's not fun. No. So she's been really good about, you know, dealing with it and handling it and putting off the bullies and the whatnot. But last night she came to me and she just couldn't handle it anymore. And she just was like, "Mom, look, I found another spot." And she just looked so like consumed by it. Mm. And I had to just sit down and talk to her and say, "You know what? That's your thing. You know, Eden's is epilepsy and this is your thing and you'll get through it." And I said, "And it doesn't help that it's stress related." Right. So the more you worry about it, it's going to perpetuate
itself.
It's
like a cycle, right?
Yeah. But, and I told her, I said, "You've got a lot going on in your life. You're a smart kid. You've got a lot of really good things going for you. And you'll find your way through it." And I said, "It will get better because it always has and it always will. It just, it's going to be your thing to struggle with right now." And I said, "Just try to focus on the things that make you happy, and the things that you have stress with, we'll work through together." So that was hard. But I mean, at the same time, it's just one of those things where when she was a kid, it would be, "I will handle taking her to the doctor. I will get the medicine." It becomes my problem. But now that she's 14, it's, you know, you got to kind of take some of that individual responsibility for putting your medicine on your head and doing things that you need to help control your stress. And she's just not quite there yet. And I have to let her flounder, and it's hard. Mm. But she's coming along.
Yeah. So. 14. That just that 13, 14, 15 time frame. I just remember just.
I've blocked out.
I don't feel for anyone at that age. I feel, I mean, it just is a rough age. So how about you, Tina? Do you got an up or down for the week?
Well, I mean, it is only Wednesday, but
we can go all the way to
Wednesday to Wednesday.
Okay.
No pressure.
So, yeah, exactly.
People with your weeks always starting on Sunday. I don't know what the heck is up with that.
I know. So, yeah, so my up would be that that Tristan and I are getting along this week. So that has been really good. He's been very pleasant to be around and very nice. So that is a real positive with a 16-year-old. And then my down is just, man, we cannot get him up in the morning. And his alarm, I mean, his room is down the hall from ours, and his alarm is so loud. And it takes a good 30 minutes for him to realize the alarm is going off. And I mean, it startles me. It is, it scares the crap out of me. And that's how I wake up in the
morning. Is it one of those old timey alarm clocks, like the actual bells and the thing? I had one of those.
Brand new iPod alarm clock thing where he can plug his iPod in there and wake up to
Screamo music.
And his, and his alarm is louder in our room to us than our alarm is loud to us.
Like,
it dwarfs our alarm.
Right by our head, his alarm is louder from his room.
Mateo's my alarm because I used to have an alarm, but now he's my alarm.
Oh, man.
So that's horrible. Oh.
So he's, 16, all he want to do is sleep. And it's so funny because I've threatened Mateo so many times because there's times where he'll wake up at like 5 a.m. I'm like, "You just wait. You just wait till you're 16 and you want to sleep."
And I have to wait.
Oh,
payback, baby.
Yep.
Oh, I remember getting up at the crack of 2 when I was a teenager, you know? Crack at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? I'm exhausted. You haven't done anything and you've been asleep for 14 hours. How could you possibly be tired? I'm exhausted. I just don't understand. I don't get it.
It's their body too, kind of, you know, adjusting to things. So,
well, and it doesn't help. Tristan is a night owl. I mean, he would stay up till 3 or 4 every morning.
If we let him,
Yeah, I was like that too. You know how my parents, though, got me to bed? They would play the theme song to Twilight Zone. It scared the crap out of me, apparently. And I would just, "Okay, I got to go to bed." And that's how
resort
I
resort to fear.
That's exactly
when all else fails.
I know, right?
Just go straight to fear. Go straight for the jugular.
I love the Twilight Zone. So somewhere in that transition of being scared to the point where I just wanted to go to bed, I flipped and went the other way.
That's awesome.
So how about you, Brian? You have any ups and downs for the week?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of them was a little more than a week ago, but not much more. So the trip to Vegas that you mentioned before was our first time, Tina's my first time, leaving Tristan alone in the house for more than a day. You know, we've let him stay at the house here while we were gone for a night. But that was, you know, we were gone for 3 nights. And we were just wondering, all right, what are we going to come home to? And we kind of let him know that just getting by this time around was probably not enough. That, you know, if we really want to trust him, maybe a couple above and beyond things, like maybe you empty the dishwasher while we're gone, or you take out the trash, or one of these things, as opposed to, you know, getting up, feeding yourself, playing a video game, going out with friends, and leaving this trail of whatever behind you in your wake.
Trail of teenager.
Exactly.
Yeah. The house is still standing, Dad. What's your complaint?
Exactly. Yeah. I fed myself. What are you complaining about? He did a great job. Like, the house was just fine when we came back. The it doesn't look like he used the fog machine while we were gone.
Nice.
I swear, when you said that, I immediately just thought of the weird science party.
Yes, right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I could think of, too. But if you did have a party, and, you know, thinking back, when I was a kid, first time my parents left me alone for a weekend to go somewhere, I did have a party. I did have a bunch of friends over, and we broke a window, and I blamed it on vandals.
Yes. Oh, man.
Did you ever tell them the
truth? I did recently. Like, I did a few years ago, and she's like, what, really? And she's, well, we knew you had a party, but we didn't think that the window got broken because of it. You know why? Because we were having a water balloon fight in front of the house, and somebody threw a water balloon and hit one of our front windows.
Oh,
smart!
You know what?
Smart kids.
I have a similar story. I got my license at 16, and my dad let me take the car out. And we live on gravel roads, so I'm so excited. So I'm taking the car and driving to my friend's house, and it's this long strip of road in the country, going side to side, weaving, mm-hmm. moving, doing something I shouldn't be doing with a car on gravel.
Too much Dukes of Hazzard for you, Missy.
I know, right?
It's like a fishtail.
And that's what the back tire blew, and I flipped the car.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
And I was so scared that I told my dad and mom that I swerved to miss a rabbit. And it wasn't until, like, you know, 10-plus years later that I'm like, right. You remember that rabbit?
Yeah, there was no rabbit.
There was no rabbit. I was just being an idiot, and I'm sorry.
I don't think we've ever told my parents what we did the first time. My brother and I are like a year and a week apart in age. He's older than me. I am the reason my parents stopped having children. Let's put it that way. Chris and I are about a year apart in age, and he is very quiet, quite reserved, very not like me. And when my parents left us for the first time, they went to Europe. So they were.
Oh, wow. Mm. Oh, did we lose Cleo?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Cleo.
The TMS Skype curse.
I was hanging on her word. What happened in Europe?
I know.
Didn't that happen on the last episode?
Yeah, she dropped on the last episode too. So we'll get Cleo back here in a minute, and we'll find out what she did. Like, I'm already building up like this crazy story, you know?
I can't wait.
So compose myself here.
Yeah,
you do music covers on Coverville.
Well, I personally
but you play them. So that actually right. inspired me for a segment on the show. And one of the things that I love doing with Mateo is, you know, singing and dancing. Obviously, if you listen to the morning stream lately, I do a little dance party silliness with my son. But when we had SiriusXM, there was a Kids Place Live radio station that would play kids music that you don't mind listening to, I guess. And one of the songs that I came across is a song called Why Is Dad So Mad by a band called Board of Education. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play that for you today because I emailed them and asked them if I could play it on the show. And they said, yeah, definitely. Oh, so I'll have a link in the show notes where you can find the music. They have an album that you can purchase from Bandcamp. And it's just really fun, and I think you're going to like it, and it's totally geeky, and it's appropriate for this. So here you go. Here is Why is Dad So Mad by the Board of Education. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. If I can... Oh. I need to learn how to use my soundboard.
Luke, Leia, Chewie, and Han, R2-3PO, Lando, and Obi-Wan. The whole family gathers round when the trilogy is on. But once the movie starts, I can hear my mom and dad start to groan. First it's the Dubaks, and by the cantina they've left the room. And I wonder why it's so bad that Greedo shoots first at Han. Why does Dad get so mad about Star Wars? Mr. Lucas, what did you do? He's always so excited when those yellow words come on. But by the end, he's angry about the new Ewok song and that Anakin guy too. So, lately I've been spending lots of time at my best friend's. I say we're playing games, but secretly we're watching the prequels. I wish I could tell my dad that episode one really isn't that bad. But he just started freaking out about Jar Jar and the whole underwater thing. And I wonder what could be so wrong with little midichlorians. Why does Dad get so Star Wars? Mr. Lucas, what did you do? He hates Hayden Christensen and thinks Yoda should be a puppet. Hates R2's jet, rocket packs, Jango Fett, Count Dooku, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Dad, I wish you could understand. There's still good in the prequels and special editions. I feel it. But Dad says, you don't know the power of the dark side of George Lucas. It's too late for me, son. It's too late for me, son.
It's too late for me, son.
Why does Dad get so mad about Star Wars? Mr. Lucas, what did you do? Even Mom starts grumbling at that final part. She says it's completely lame that Padme would die of a broken heart. I guess I'll watch something else.
So there you go. That is Why is Dad So Mad by the Board of Education. Such a fun little
nice,
thing.
Nice Star Wars connection in there.
I love it. It just cracks me up every time I hear that song. Because we come up from a generation where it's like, no, this is Star Wars. And it reminds us that our kids kind of see things differently as they are growing up and finding their own things to be nostalgia about when they're in their 20s and 30s.
Like Jar Jar.
See, for the kids, though, I think they're probably like, oh, that's not so bad. I like
exactly,
it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yep.
So I love that little song. It's so fun. And I'm always looking for good kid music that I don't want to, you know, pull my hair out listening to. Do you guys, did you guys go through like a kid music phase with Tristan? Well, you mentioned he likes the screaming music right now.
Or the screamo. That's what he likes right now. The yes. Screamo. But we were pretty good about having him experience the kind of music that we already like. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd fit in a few kid songs and things, but it would almost be more like kid songs done by artists we already like. Like They Might Be Giants has an album of kid songs.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers do a great song called I'm a Little Dinosaur that Tristan got hooked on. But he got hooked on things like Bjork, and he'd get lyrics wrong, which was also the best part. But Bjork and David Bowie and...
I mean, when he was a baby, we used to sing Oasis Wonderwall.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
And that was his bedtime song for a long, long time.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he grew up on a lot of the stuff that we already liked.
I really enjoy the Jack Johnson Curious George album.
That's really cute. With Upside Down and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. That's a great album.
That is a great album. Yeah, there's a lot of good kids songs made by, I guess, artists that we already like.
Mm-hmm.
Make a kids album. It'll sell.
Exactly.
Sarah went through a brief phase where she really enjoyed those kids bop albums. Oh. It was a very brief phase.
Oh, you're very lucky.
Yeah. Well, no, because brief. See, now I've got three kids who love like just mainstream pop. Mm. So Colin, for instance, knows songs by Carmen, and he loves Lady Gaga. I mean, he's four. It's not right, but he likes it. So, you know. Sarah's all about One Direction and that group. So it's kind of good because it lets me say to them, you know, this is inappropriate and here's why. And they hear it and they reinforce that to themselves because it's out there. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain to her. I made a joke with somebody about Dr. Dre the other day and she said, Dr. what? Is he one of Ethan's doctors? And I went, no.
That's the guy that does the headphones.
Yeah. I said, no. And she has some beats, which threw me. I'm like, how do you not know who that is? So it's good because I like that I can, it's current for them.
Yeah.
The things that they like are current to them and they understand it. But at the same time, I think, man, I wish you just liked Barney a little bit more. Just a little bit.
Sure.
I don't know. I think thinking back to my teenage years, stuff like One Direction and the boy bands, I was a big New Kids on the Block fan. Off the Block.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can believe it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, for me as a teenage girl, that was safe and I could, you know, have a crush. And
sure.
That was like, it was and I think that's one of the reasons why those bands are important and so popular. It gives young girls kind of the ability to have fantasies and have a crush and things like that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I know most people hate them, but I actually think they provide a good service for the young girls.
They're harmless.
They're harmless. I remember when I got older and I realized they were actual human beings that smoked and did things, and I was like, oh, what is going on? My world is crumbling.
My mind is blown. Yep.
Kicked right in the childhood feels when that happens. Absolutely.
All right. So we also like to do a little thing called Family Game Night, where we talk about any apps or board games that we'd like to play with our kids. Cleo, you have a couple, an app for us?
Well, I have one that we downloaded real recently. Sarah just got her first phone. She has an Android device, but she will borrow my husband's iPhone. Sarah and Aaron go to the gym a couple nights a week and play volleyball on a local team. And when she's not playing, because her father is busy taking over the court, she will sit on his iPhone and play games with me or talk to me, chat, text, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we downloaded Mad Libs for the iPhone, which is hysterical. And it's free. And it's available on the App Store. And it's great because I think, you know, I remember doing Mad Libs, you know, straight out of the notebook as a kid. You could buy them in the bookstore. And they were hilarious. And they're still hilarious now. And it lets her figure out what words she wants to use to describe stuff when it's really easy nowadays. I mean, I've got a 14-year-old who makes YouTube videos and lives in this electronic age, that's fine, but she doesn't have to do a lot with a lot of concrete, let me describe how this makes me feel, because a lot of media does that for her. Right. So I'm glad that she is now forced to, I got to think of an adjective. Oh, what did they tell me an adjective was? Oh, yeah, that's one of those words. And she's got to kind of put it together and think about how she is she thinking about a certain topic? Is she thinking about the same thing all the time? Now you can tell after about 3 minutes with Sarah if she's got One Direction on the brain, because it all comes out. It all comes out with One Direction words. You know what I mean?
Harry Styles.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, look, we're not writing fan fiction here. We're playing a game. So, but she's doing that, and she'll sit with her brother sometimes if Colin's having a hard night and he goes to her a lot for comfort. She'll sit with him and say, "Let's play a game with Mom." And then I'll hear her up. And then, you know, on the other side of the house, we're not more than 50 yards away from one another. But if he's supposed to be upstairs and not come down, she'll have him in her bedroom and she'll be saying, "Now we're going to give Mom an adjective that describes something. Can you tell me what color this is?" Oh, so it's bringing him into it. And it's really a lot of fun. Oh. So that's a great app if you guys want to get into it.
It's free, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I had so many of those Mad Lib notepads as a kid.
Yes.
And then they also had those, I guess they would call them a burn book now, but they were where you would fill in like who's your favorite, who's your best friend, and
right,
blah,
right.
Blah. And they were more positive because they
more
were
like
actually
a journal-y kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember those too. So, how about you? Do you have any fun board games that you play with Tristan, or is he kind of out of that right now?
We try and pull him back in. He tries to get out of that, and we kind of force him to play games with us. There was one we played over Christmas that he, on the surface, said he hated, but I think he actually kind of secretly enjoyed it, and we played it again on New Year's Eve, but it's called Quirkle, and it was one that we heard about on Will Wheaton's Geek and Sundry tabletop gaming.
Tabletop.
Yes, the podcast, the video cast that he does, and saw this and was like, oh, okay, that looks like fun. Went out and bought it that weekend, and it is a it's a game you play similar. You know, you probably play in a very similar way to Scrabble, where you build off of build rows and quote unquote words off of other people's words. But instead of actually having letter tiles, you've got tiles that have colors and shapes on them, and you can only place quote-unquote words made up of these colors and shapes if they all go together. So you have a blue square next to a blue square, and then a red square, and then a yellow square making up a word. Or you do all blue shapes and things like that. And on the surface, it sounds like, oh my God, this sounds like the most simple, you know, whatever game possible. But there are so many levels to it. And figuring out what things can possibly go in other areas and having spaces that are technically blocked out because they wouldn't follow any rules of logic. There's a really, really deep level to it that we didn't even expect when we got the game. And what's cool about it is you could play it with a six-year-old and really just do kind of the basics. Simple or you words. Could play it, not words, but these colors and shapes. Because there aren't words, you know, you don't have to worry about, hey, is that a real word or not? I mean, it is super simple to learn and
complicated too.
Yeah, exactly. The depth of how it gets complicated grows depending on the intelligence and experience of the people you play with. So it grows to fit you. It's probably the best way to describe it. Quirkle is the name of that.
Quirkle. Tina, did you have one that you wanted to recommend to people?
Well, you know, Tristan, he got this card game called Apples to Apples.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
And I don't know how old he was when he got it, maybe 7 or something. But anytime we'd play games, that was the game that had to come out, and we'd play it forever. And even now, he still gravitates kind of to that game. And it's more of a kid's game, but I mean, adults can play it. Yeah. I mean, it's like Cards Against Humanity, but it's tame.
it's Cards Against Humanity Light, which is funny because that's the way you usually describe Cards Against Humanity. It's apples to apples with swear words. Yeah.
Yeah. But he loved that game. Still does.
Yeah.
How fun.
Well, we have a great store here in Overland Park, Kansas, and it's called Go. And it's the whole back, it's up like calendars and games. Think like kind of like a Hallmark store sort of. And it's got all kinds of calendars and toys, but the whole back wall of the place is all board games.
Oh, wow.
And it's great to see so many people in there with their kids. Let's go find a game. Let's go here. When you expect to find them all at the Apple store or at the Lego store, it's really neat to see them all in there getting Settlers of Catan and all these really fun games, Munchkin. All these really fun board games.
Oh, I noticed Barnes & Noble. I went to a Barnes & Noble over the holiday, and they had a huge section just devoted to board games, puzzles, and like little vinyl figurines.
It's funny. They've taken out their whole music section at the one by us, taken out their whole music section, replaced it with board games, puzzles, and vinyl toys, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's funny.
I picked up
because our music was overpriced anyway.
That's true.
I, for one, get all my music from Brian Ibbett's cover book. That's where I get my music.
Well played, Cleo.
Thank you. We actually have I don't know whether you guys have seen these before. I know they have them at Michael's music stores and music stores. What was I thinking? Craft stores. And a lot of places like Hobby Lobby. They're kind of grown-up coloring books, and they're kind of fractal images or really geometric shapes. And when I was in the hospital, a couple of people, Yagavos from the chat room and Kathy Kelleher, sent me a group of those, and they sent an 80s coloring book, and they sent a couple of things from, oh, you guys, Doug and Melissa, I believe is the name of the toy store online.
Yeah,
they sent us those. One was for me, one was for Sarah, and one was for Colin, so that I was using colored pencils and stuff like that, and that's something else we can do. It's not necessarily game-related, but it's something we can share. Well, why did you do that this way? Or I want to use your crayons to do this.
Right.
So the three of us sat there and just colored for like 2 hours and had a ball. So that's a lot of fun for us to do as well.
Is that Colin in the background?
That is Colin making all the notes. I managed to, he got for Christmas, because Aaron works at a toy store, he got a set of things that all I can say is it's called Backyard Safari. And it comes with, he looks like the crocodile hunter. He's got a little vest on, and he's got a bug sucker, just a little vacuum cleaner so we can walk around sucking up insects, which I will be using to suck up the spiders. But he's sucking up pieces of lint and showing it to you. He's got all these books, and he's going to be, we're going to order butterfly kits. We have an indoor little, we're going to have bugs all over the damn house by the end of the spring. But he's very excited. And yes, I said to him just before we started recording, Mommy needs you to be quiet. And he went, okay. And apparently the expiration date has hit on being quiet.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's good to know how long. When I tell Mateo to do something, like, I'll get an attention span of maybe 1 to 2 minutes. And then it's off to something else. So
he just looked at me. I gave him the international symbol for don't do that again. Like, don't pull the trigger on the gun that was making all the noise in the background.
Is it the finger or the eyes?
It's the finger to the lips for be quiet. And I just made like the finger gun. And I waved my finger and gave him the look of death. And he just looked at me and went, and just went straight upstairs. I was like, good. Go up there where all the Legos are. Go. So yes, we should have nice peace and quiet now.
I should have said one of my ups was Mateo for the first time. When I said, go in the other room and play, he did it.
Did
and I was
it?
Like, oh my God, he did it. Oh my God. Right. I can't believe it.
You'll be able to give him little jobs now. That'll be fun.
I know, right?
Mommy wants a cold drink. Do you know where those are? Go ahead. Go get one. Well, yeah, that'd be great.
We were talking before the show started, Tina, and you were going to tell me about something that you did with Tristan when we were talking about ups and downs. And we forgot to talk about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I had mentioned was that we actually did something very similar to the ups and downs. So every, I don't know, it probably lasted for 3 months. How we got out of it, but he was in elementary school and it was a difficult time in elementary school for him. And so we had just started saying, okay, let's, you know, as we're eating dinner, we talk about, you know, what was one good thing that happened today and then one not so good thing that happened today. And we'd always start with a bad thing, and then we'd end on the good note, and we just kind of go around and talk about it. And it was a nice way, because for when you have a boy, boys are very different in the fact that they don't talk much.
Yeah.
They don't volunteer information. You know, they're very, or at least Tristan was very close to the vest, you know, and he still is that way. And so it's hard getting information out of him. And that was one way that we could get information out of him to figure out how his day really was, what happened. We found it very effective.
Oh, I have to remember that then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girls aren't like that, FYI.
Oh, I know.
If you ask that question, you best have a nice drink handy and a place to sit. Because Sarah would do 30 minutes on how wonderful her friends are, and you'd say, well, did anything, you know, down happen for you today? And she'd just go, algebra. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You know, or it was drama, some ridiculous manufactured huge drama. But I am looking forward to the stage at which Colin just plays his cards close to the vest. And I go, okay, all right, good talk, son. Move forward.
To the point, if you can get the information out of him. All right. Well, we also have a segment where we answer solicited advice, not unsolicited. So we're not going to just randomly go up to strangers point. And just say, hey, you should do
you're
this.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're doing
your
it wrong.
Parenting sucks.
We're bad at this.
So these are people that have actually asked for our advice. Not that we're experts. We're just parents kind of figuring our way out through this crazy ride. And honestly, I think I told somebody the reason why I started this podcast is because I am too cheap for therapy. So, So, all right. So the first one is not necessarily advice, but someone had asked me on Twitter, I don't have kids. I'm not a parent. Do you think I'd enjoy your podcast? And I'm like, I have no idea. But we did get an email from Dan who said, hello, Nicole and gang. I just wanted to let you know that how much I enjoyed the first episode of Nerd Parents. I'm not a parent myself, and as I am gay, and my boyfriend and I don't plan on adopting, but my sister and her husband just had their first child, and I'm looking forward to spending time with my little niece. Anyway, I want what I... I can read. Anyway, what I was getting at is that even though I'm not a parent, I found your conversations extremely entertaining and informative and looking forward to many more episodes. Thanks for all you do, Dan. So thanks for that, Dan. I appreciate that.
And you get the fun of looking forward to having the niece over and getting all the joyful parts of children and then sending them right back over to mom and dad when you're done.
That's the best part.
Okay, so that brings up a good question because I have to ask you, because there's times where, like, for instance, my mom, I'll say, Mom, do you want to watch Mateo? Or do you want to spend some time with Mateo? And it's almost like she only wants, like I'm there. I get to do all the blah, and she only gets the fun.
She gets the good stuff. I'll take him to the zoo. And da, 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 da,
oh, yeah. I'll give him candy. I'll do all this stuff. Get him toys. Do all these fantastic. Oh, yeah. It's like the weekend dad. You know, they do all this fun stuff. And then... that's what they're known for.
I got to clean the pool.
And they drop suggestions, too. Oh, yeah. They drop suggestions in the head of the child. Not too recently, because my parents are both retired now, my mother got Sarah on her cell phone, which was another thing I never should have allowed, was them having numbers they could contact one another without me in the room. They contacted one another, and my mother put the suggestion in Sarah's head that she and I, not my mother, should go to London for a One Direction concert.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Mom.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be great, Mom? Oh, that'd be fantastic, that'd be Sarah. Great. Holy smokes. Yeah. But Uncle Dan, you're magnificent, and I'm sure your niece will love you, but you will be Uncle Dan of the sugar and the fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But on occasion, you know, do some of the hard stuff for the guy, for your brother.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Your sister and your brother-in-law. So they really appreciate it.
They do. Believe me, they can also get the child prepared to come over to see Uncle Dan and leave them with not the best of circumstances. So it goes both ways.
All right. Next one we have is from Ryan. He asks, so our routine typically gets the kid. Did I cut off this? I just cut off the email. Ah, crap. Oh,
I have it here in front of me if you want me to read it.
Yeah.
It says, just don't leave that cell or it'll disappear for all of us.
Oh, okay.
It says, so our routine is typically get the kids to bed and watch a show together. See, then my wife goes off to bed.
I cut off part of it, unfortunately.
Oh, gotcha. You mean before? Oh, yeah. So before what this is. I see what you're saying.
So I have it right here. The kids are in bed is the title. Oh, no, he just started it.
That's where he just goes right into the cell.
Yeah. Our routine is typically to get the kids in bed and watch a show together. Then my wife goes off to bed and I play some games. Any suggestions for alternatives to the above activities? Besides the obvious? something we can do together that isn't too taxing energy-wise.
Well, I guess that's unlike the obvious. Yeah.
But something you can share with your spouse. Looking forward to it, Ryan. I'm just like you, Ryan. Mark and I are, I guess you would label us boring. I mean, that's what we did before we had kids, and so this is what we do after. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to hear from you and Tina, Brian, on do you do anything different?
This was pretty much our routine as well. Once Tristan went to bed, we'd watch, something...
adult,
I wanted to phrase it
like the 9 o'clock shows, you know,
right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
The CSIs and the stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we just go to bed. But, is he looking for, something just he and the spouse can do instead of just watching TV?
I have an idea.
Yeah.
So one thing that we do, it's not that often, but sometimes we'll get a puzzle. And then it's something that
like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, a jigsaw puzzle. And then it's something that we can do together as a family or just Brian and I or one of us, you know, and we'll just kind of work on it throughout, you know, a week or a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you can do too while the TV's on, or, you know,
totally. Yeah.
Where you don't need complete focus on something else.
Not taxing at all, for sure.
No, not taxing. Yeah.
Like build something together, do a craft together, something along those lines. Right. Is really good.
Yeah.
Learn woodworking. No.
Exactly.
Exactly. Great suggestion.
How about you, Cleo?
One of the things that we do around here quite a bit, actually, is we have a metal bulletin board, and I took Scrabble tiles and put magnets on the back of them. So we have an ongoing running game of Scrabble at any time. So you might come and find that my husband has decided, you'll see a post-it note on it that says, oops, dropped the board, and he's wiped it out because somebody else was beating him, you know, something like that. So we have ongoing stuff like that. In my house, kind of what we do is our kids go to bed at very different times. Eden is extremely scheduled because she has medical needs that mm-hmm. require her to get medication at a certain time. Sarah is pretty, she's actually pretty good about, I got school in the morning, I got to go to bed. I know that won't last, so I'm going to love it as long as I can. Right. And Colin's a night owl. So he wants to be up with us at all times. What we like to do is when the kids all finally do get down, we try not to, when they're awake, talk about the big heavy stuff, mm-hmm. like how his work is going and that type of thing. So after the kids go to bed, we chat about that stuff, or I will sit with him and watch him play games. So I'm kind of his lookout in Call of Duty.
Oh,
while
fun.
He's actually shooting the people, I'm the one going, there's one up in the balcony, get him. So we'll do that together, and we'll talk about things like, yeah, we'll play each other in Hearthstone.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, so we'll good. Do things like that. Or we will play each other on, he'll demand things from Candy Crush and we'll send those back and forth. So we try to keep, as much as it's very easy, I think, when you're like, finally, the kids are in bed, I'm going to have me time and I'm going to go to my devices and I'm going to do the things that I didn't get to do all during the day.
Right.
I think it's more fun for us because we try to involve one another in that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be sitting, you know, oh, are you going to come to bed? Sure. And we'll get into bed. And then all of a sudden there's this eerie glow from one side of the room because somebody's reading their mail, you know, in bed. So but what then all that'll happen. And all of a sudden I'll get a message that pops up that says, turn off the light. Yeah. You know, he's right next to me. So we try to keep it fun.
We've
like
had
that.
I've had that happen with Mark and I before too.
Aaron and I have been married for 15 years and we feel very comfortable in that we understand and value that we were our own people before mm-hmm. the other one came into their lives. And we have to maintain that. And there's definitely when you're parenting, you know, one kid alone, but when you've got three of them, you've become a zone defense. It's not man to man anymore. Mm-hmm. So you kind of heard and whatever, and we get that we don't get a lot of private time anymore. You know, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. Dates are pretty difficult to come by for us because we have to get a nurse and all that stuff. So that's really hard. So when we do, even in the moments that we are really individually alone, we try to connect it's some way. Mm-hmm. And whether it's, you know, I'll get a text from the bathroom, you know, just hilarious stuff in the middle of the evening. Just wanted you to know I'm thinking of you. Thanks. That's precious. You know what I mean? Like fun stuff like that. I just think it helps you to connect. And that's the most important part of parenting is understanding that it's about all of you.
And laughing, you know, I think it's so important to laugh and take a moment to, you know, on occasion when Mark and I do get out, we will go to movies and I don't really want to go to see heavy movies. I want to see funny movies.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I need the funny right now. Or to a comedy show or something like that. So
parenting is serious business. And I mean, it's serious in terms of the gravity of what you're doing. You're mm-hmm. trying to raise people and put them out into a world where they're of value to a society, not just to you. And then when you get past that, you go, yeah, but it's really funny. You have to laugh about it because you know exactly where they're coming from. You're like, yeah, I did that 20 years ago. I know what you're 20 years ago, 40 years ago for me. I know what you're trying to pull on me there, smart guy. No, nice try. Yeah. You know, so you have to laugh about it. And you have to look back and say, you know what, guys? I'm going to sound exactly like my parents right now. And they said it to me. And I thought it was a bunch of bull back then. But in 30 years, when it's you're in my shoes, you're going to say, I remember that when mom did that. Now I know exactly how she feels.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you found that any of you have apologized to your parents? Like as you become parents and you realize, oh my God, I did this to my mom. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that. Totally.
My husband has told me that I'm turning into my mother, which was not smart for him.
Ooh,
but yeah. But he's right though. He's right. I love my parents. They're two of my best friends in the whole wide world. And I grew up, you know, with parents who didn't I think it's, and this is where we might lose some of the listening audience, Nicole. Sorry.
That's all right.
I think that there's a fine line between trying to be a friend to your children and parenting, because there can be that really fuzzy line you walk between. I want to understand the things that you like and enjoy, and I want to support you in trying new things. But for health and safety reasons, I'm going to have to say no about this, or be the jerk and take the heat for it, because that's your job.
You bring up a good point. I'm curious. I'm finding my role. I thought I was going to be like the good cop. I thought I was going to be. I've become the bad cop, and I didn't realize I was going to be the bad cop.
Yes, dads are for fun. Parents are for cleaning. Moms are for cleaning and eating, and dads are for fun.
So I'm curious, Brian, Tina, who's bad cop, who's good cop? Usually,
you know,
not all the time.
It goes back and forth. But we actually discussed. It was in December, and we were having a particularly rough. I was having a particularly rough time with Tristan. Yes. Our birthdays are 5 days apart, and we're both very headstrong, stubborn people at times. And me being the parent, I need to win. I need to win the argument because I'm the parent. And it's like you can't enter into an argument that you can't win. You know, that's just,
picking your battles.
You have to pick your battle. And you have to stand strong. And so Tristan and I were having a particularly difficult time in December, pretty much the entire month of December. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. It helped that things were going on with my dad's health that made it more emotional for me. But so at that point in time, Brian and I had discussed, he's like, I'm okay just being the bad cop right now. And so that's what we're doing right now, because that's what is needed. Yeah. But We take turns being the bad cop, good cop, I think. Do you agree, Brian?
No, I think so. And I think it really just depends on the situation. Mm-hmm.
And we'll even say to each other, okay, you back me up. You have to back me up. Or united front. That's what we say, united front. And we'll just look at each other in the eye, because it's like, you can't back down. You have to stick with me on this.
Totally true. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Because that's confusing for kids. When you got one parent, Aaron is the laid back one in the house. And I think a lot of it has to do with I'm home all day long. Mm-hmm. So Sarah gets off the bus at 2:45 and she comes in the house and I'm like, okay, we've got dishes to wash. And I've kind of got my day flying by and she's fitting into that. And I'm like, well, you know, did you get your homework done? How are things in school? What's going on? Aaron comes home and he's like, do you want to go get a Subway? Like, there's no pressure from him at all, you know? So I think she gravitates to dad for that reason. And I think that's fine. But I definitely, Tina, have been there where it's been like, you just need to take a hit today.
Yeah.
Because I have been the bad guy long enough. You just need to do it and help, if for no other reason than to present that united front. Fake it till you make it when it comes to that one. Because sometimes it's hard for them to see us that way. And you'll get kids who will get into that role of thinking, well, I can manipulate a little bit because dad will give me what I want, or I'll go to this parent for that. And you don't want to go down that road. That's not a fun road to be on.
Yeah. Well, what Tristan would pull with us is, he'd ask me a question. He'd be like, he'd go to Brian and he'd say, hey, can I go do that? You know, go to the mall with some friends or something, or, you know, who knows? Can I go climb this really ridiculously tall tree? And Brian would say no. And then he would come to me. And he'd be like, hey, can I climb this, you know, just kind of a smallish tree? And I'd be like, oh, okay, all right. Oh. And then he'd be gone, and Brian would be like, well, where did he go? Oh, he was going to go climb some small tree. Right. No, he cannot do that.
He changes the message. He tests the message on one and modifies it for a different response on the other.
Exactly. So we learn to say, have you already asked your dad this question? You know, we've learned through trial and error with him what to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, funny. Yeah.
There's a great website out there, and this dips a little bit into the relationship between moms and dads as well. I honestly believe that children each have their own individual styles of communication, even in the same family, for the most part. And even if the parents have the same dynamic with each child, their needs for communication are met very differently. And there's a great website called The 5 Love Languages.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great site for parents to kind of get into. There's a great little quiz online, and you can take it so that you can figure out what your kids' needs are. How do your kids hear you best? What kind of messages do they need? Physical touch? Do they need words of affirmation? What kinds of things do they respond best by? Gifts, which, yes, for most children, straight up bribery works very well for a lot of small children. So it's a great site to kind of check into. And we have been trying to use that with Sarah maybe once every 6 months and show her the results of the, like, we sit down with the computer facing us and I'll say, I'm going to ask you the question. You tell me the answer and I'll select it. And then we'll say to her, now look how different you were 6 months ago. Mm. Now, do you see why sometimes you find it us frustrating? We don't know how to give you what you need sometimes, and you need to understand that about us as well.
You know,
so it's a really cool site.
What's the site again?
It's called the Five Love Languages. It's www.5lovelanguages.com.
Is there also a quiz for husband and wife? Because I took that with Mark, and it was so interesting to me. Because for me, it showed my love of what I deem love is if you do something for me.
Acts like of service.
You help you help me.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yes. It's like,
and it's the same type of, it's the same categories, you know, the acts of service versus physical touch and quality time and all that. And it's, but it's really neat to go back. I go back and revisit it with Aaron because, you know, there's so much that we do in the course of our daily lives that changes who we are. And while we're both in this parenting thing together, and that won't ever change, hopefully, the way we approach each other is going to change how we approach our kids. And different kids have different needs. Eden's not verbal, so she's got a different level of communication. Colin and Sarah, as much as they are peas in a pod at 10 years apart in age, they need entirely different needs when it comes to communication. Right. Colin needs to be in your lap, touching your face, hearing you. Sarah not like that. Sarah, right, well, for now anyway, she just wants to spend time with you. And for her, quality time can be just being in the room that you're in, not even speaking to you.
Right.
But as long as she knows that you are there, she's content. Colin wants to do a craft or something like that. So, but it's really neat. It's really cool to go back and look at it.
Yeah, I remember taking that quiz. We'll put a link in the show notes. You can find that at nerdparents.com if you're interested in taking that quiz yourself or checking it out. I'm glad you brought that up and remembered it. So I totally forgot about that site.
Yeah, I know what we're doing tonight with Tristan.
Yeah.
Right. It's neat because I think a lot of the times you do it and you go, I didn't realize I do that. Yeah. Do I really do that?
Yeah.
And it's cool. I realize I connect with Sarah in a very different way than I connect with Aaron. And I know why that is a struggle for me. Yeah. Sarah and I are alike in a lot of ways, but she is much more like her father. And that's why they get along so much easier than she and I do. We have to work at it, you know? Yeah. But yeah, it's a really cool thing.
FiveLoveLanguages.com. There you go.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up a show. Tina, Brian, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. Thank you guys for having us.
This was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
If people listening want to find you, they still can't figure out how to get to find you. You want to tell them any fun stuff?
So they can find me on the web at anything marked Coverville. Yeah. So whether it's Google, Twitter, Facebook, just a plain old URL on a web page, Google. Make sure you do your Googles and visit Coverville.com.
You've cornered the market in Coverville, I think.
I have. Yeah. Yes.
Just like I've cornered the market in on Nicole Spag. So,
yes.
Tina, how about you? I know you're not on Twitter, but I know you're active in the tadpole, so people see
you. I'm active in the tadpole as Tina McCoy Ibbett, or you can also email me at Tina@Coverville.com.
Yeah, there you go. How about you, Cleo? You want to give your information to the listeners?
I have not cornered the market on the Cleo, but I'm working on it. You guys can always find me on Facebook, either as Cleo, you can look things up, or Carrie Thompson Chai is my name in Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter at Coffee Please, COFFEEPLZ.
I was just finishing up my second cup of coffee right here.
Mm. There you go.
You can find me at Nicole Spag on Twitter. Also, if you want to send us an email, if you want to send us either email for solicited advice, or if you have a song or a kids band that you want to send, really anything, you can head on over to nerdparents.com. There's a little contact button and you can just submit a form right there, or you can just use nerdparents@gmail.com. That works as well. So thank you again, Tina, Brian, and Cleo for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
on the first episode of Nerd Parents. We hope to have you back anytime you want to come back
sure.
to the show.
After we learn Yay. Something. We'll learn something new.
Well, it's always ever-changing, right?
And yes, it really is.
The one constant is change with parenting. Yes. So thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week when we will have Mr. Eric Van Skyhawk, and we're going to talk more about technology and apps and all that fun stuff on that episode. Cool. Thanks.
Awesome.
Bye.
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 frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I didn't blow up the house when my parents went to Europe, by the way.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
My brother had invited a bunch of friends over, and like I said, my brother's friends are super quiet. Those quiet people threw all of our deck furniture in the pool. All that happened was, I believe my neighbors peeked their heads out of their blinds once in a while, and that scared us into digging the pool furniture out and claiming that nothing went wrong. There was a duck in the fireplace at one point. I don't really need to go too far into that, but at one point there was actually a duck in the fireplace, a live one. Okay. Yes.
Oh my.
Yes, a live one. I think it had fallen down the flue, and my brother just said, only us.
The fire wasn't on.
No.
Okay, good.
No, that would have been a whole different story. Nope.
Well, that I have to say, the story I made up in my head was a lot worse. So I'm glad you cleared that up. I'll put that in.
Exactly.
I'll put that in the
expectations
end.
Are that I would blow things up, but no.